Blog Talk Radio.
Con los terroristas.
Here today on one of the biggest sport, probably the single biggest sporting day in America. Actually, definitely the biggest sporting day in America. It is Super Bowl Sunday, Sportsaholics 24/7. We are live with our Super Bowl 49 special show. We're going to break down all the key matchups. We're going to give our predictions. We have some special segments coming up. First of all, just a quick introduction. I'm your host, John, joined by my co-hosts, Nick and Brandon. What's going on, guys?
I'm just here so I don't get fined. My worst nightmare Super
Bowl. What was that, Brandon?
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Oh, okay. I see how it is. All right, so like I said, we have a pretty full show today. And as always, if you'd like to call in, the number to call is 347-884-8496. Once again, 347-884-8496. If you want to talk about the game with your predictions, anything, any questions you have for us, that's the number to call. All right, so let's get right into it. Seahawks, Patriots. Once again, another Super Bowl where both teams are the one seed from their respective conferences. Let's take a look at the Patriots offense. We all know about the whole Deflategate thing. I don't know if that'll really affect them that much in the field. I don't think it will. But the Patriots offense, one of the top offenses in the NFL. Brandon, we'll start with you. Give us the breakdown of New England's offensive attack.
Well, New England's offensive attack is obviously very pass-heavy. They have receivers Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman. They obviously have Rob Gronkowski, the tight end threat. And I just genuinely think that their running backs are not as usable as they should be. They have very talented running backs between, you know what, honestly, I can't even think of it right now. It's way too focused on just Seattle because I'm just so excited. It's not even, ask Nick.
Okay, all right. All right, so Nick, you can add on to that, I guess.
Basically, New England, they have to just keep doing what they're doing. I know it sounds cliche. But they play a style of football. They run the type of offense that can beat Seattle. Seattle's defense is more, you know, press coverage, makes big plays, more deep passes. New England's offense doesn't do that. They don't have any big-time receivers. The reason why they have a passing game at all is mainly because of Tom Brady. And it's more shorter passes. They use double tight end. They love to use Gronk. And their running game is not benign. They can certainly use their running game, and it's really going to be more possession. They're really going to try to dominate possession time and not exactly stretch the field right away.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think especially with the injuries to the Seattle secondary, three out of the four starters in that backfield for them, they're injured, and I don't know the extent of those injuries. They haven't really disclosed it, but, you know, guys like Richard Sherman and who was it, Cam Chancellor just twisted his knee in practice.
And Earl Thomas was hurt, too.
And Earl Thomas hurt his elbow. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think that, like you said, Nick, the Patriots have to just keep doing what they're doing because they do a great job of that. As you know, that Bill Belichick and the offensive coordinators and all the coaches for that coaching staff are going to do a great job preparing them for this very aggressive Seattle defense.
Well, John, also, let's not forget, Richard Sherman may not even make the Super Bowl today due to other reasons and poor timing by him 9 months ago because he could potentially have his child today. His wife could very easily go into labor on Super Bowl Sunday, and he said if that happens, they have to miss the game.
He might not miss the game though.
He most likely will not.
I think he'll play. That's what I honestly think that he's going to play. I don't believe he's going to miss.
I think one way or another he will, but obviously it's not my decision, and obviously the birth of his firstborn child is a very important milestone. So I really genuinely wish Richard Sherman that he makes the correct decision tonight, no matter what goes on in his head. Whatever is correct in his head is correct in general, and I just really hope that everything's okay. If he has his kid tonight, it's fantastic, and he should play more inspired. If not, obviously, you know, that all works out all the better. But Sherman, you don't know yet. You have to wait to see. It's another curveball thrown into this Super Bowl storyline tonight.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let's move on to what's considered to be the weakest unit in this game, which is the New England defense. They have a few very talented players. Vince Wilfork on that defensive line, one of the best nose tackles in the game. Devin McCourty, a great player in the secondary for them. They have a few other guys. Darrell Revis, obviously, one of the best cornerbacks. But overall, they're not even as close to as good as Seattle's defense. So what are some of the key things with their defense, Nick?
Well, their secondary certainly might want to step up because that's their strength, the secondary. But I don't think their secondary is going to be bothered with that much because it is so strong. And Seattle doesn't have much of a deep threat. No disrespect to Doug Baldwin, but he's their top receiver. He's not Megatron. He's not Larry Fitzgerald. He's not a guy that teams that they're dying to get the ball to. So what New England's probably going to do, they're probably going to put eight men in the box because Seattle runs a very tricky college-style, run-style offense. They'll run a lot of zone reads, and it would really just be ineffective for them not to put eight men in the box and not just focus on stopping the run because that's what they have to do. They can't let Seattle beat them the way they normally beat them and make sure they end up like fish out of water and force them to pass.
Yeah, Brandon, how about you? What are some keys for Seattle's for New England's defense? I apologize.
I'm sorry, John. What was the question?
So just some keys for the New England defense. What are they going to have to do to win today?
Well, the key for New England defense, and I think this is quite honest, just stop Marshawn Lynch, which is extremely hard to do, but you have to figure out a way to stop him. He can attack you from every angle of the field. He can go up the gut. He can turn it a corner. He has a burst of speed that's unbelievable, and he's able to stop and maneuver around defensive players, whether it's in the middle of the field or whether it's on the outside corner. That's just it's just unbelievable. So the key to New England's success is that they really just have to stop Marshawn. And if they stop Marshawn, I don't think that Russell Wilson is going to pose that much of a threat to Seattle's to New England's defense, considering that they do have Darrell Revis. I genuinely think that Russell Wilson's not going to get it going until like the third, fourth quarter of this game. And I honestly think that if New England could stop Marshawn Lynch, they have a much better chance of winning this game than they did before. So,
yeah.
But the thing
I think
is,
the key for them is
I don't see them stopping Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be difficult. And I think that the key for them is simple. It's possibly the simplest thing in all of football, tackling. If they can tackle well, which is – not easy to do, especially against Marshawn Lynch. But if they can tackle well, I think that they'll be able to slow down this rushing attack. Because what Marshawn Lynch does is he's not the fastest guy, but he's definitely the strongest guy. And he will break tackles, and he loves contact. He initiates contact, so run guys over. So the Patriots, they're just going to have to tackle well, especially tackle in space when it's those one-on-one matchups. You got Marshawn Lynch on the edge, and it's him going against a cornerback, and if he breaks the tackle, he's gone. Those are the plays that New England's going to have to make.
Right, but not only is Marshawn Lynch like a power runner, he also has great speed too, which is extremely underrated. I mean, when you have a guy who is almost untackleable in the secondary, who can get to the secondary so easily, he's a gem. Marshawn Lynch is truly a gem. And I just don't see New England's defense, which is much stronger in the backfield than it is in the front, to be able to stop them like that. Like I said, they're going to have to put eight men in the box and focus on stopping the run. and that's not what their defense is used to. The only thing is that Bill Belichick is a great defensive mind. He is. We all forget this, but he is a defensive minded coach. So he might be able to come up with a plan to try to stop this. But no team in the NFL, no team in the NFL I've ever seen runs an offense like Seattle does.
Well, no team in the NFL.
Yeah, it's foreign. It's foreign.
No team in the NFL has the kind of tools that Seattle has. They have everybody. They have skilled players at every position in the NFL. They have one of the best offensive lines. They have one of the best defensive lines. They have by far the best secondary. And their offense, you know, running backs and wide receivers, is some top quality stuff. They're all young yet experienced because they've played big games. They've been to the Super Bowl already. There isn't that many additions. In fact, there's a lot more additions that they have gotten rid of. That makes sense. They have gotten rid of more players than they have signed over the course of this past year. And obviously the big departure that you can think of is Percy Harvin. But Seattle's young, they're talented, and they're ready to go for another Super Bowl against a much easier opponent to play than the Denver Broncos.
I don't know about that.
I have a quick question for you guys.
Here is okay. Easier to play than Denver last year. Even though the game ended up the way it did, I think
they destroyed Denver
for opponents to beat.
There's no way this game is going to be a blowout. That's all I can say. These are teams that don't back down.
This game will not be a blowout. I tell you that. Anybody can tell you that. This game is not going to end up like it was last year. Denver was not ready to play. They were unprepared for what Seattle brought to the table. Their defense lost it many times. Peyton Manning didn't play well. Maybe it was the weather, the atmosphere, whatever it was. Denver was not ready to play. This is in a neutral site. New England will come ready to play. The team will be very contested throughout. And I think the difference, we could be looking at a 7 or a 3-point difference here tonight. We come down to the last
minute. All right. Well, we're going to get to predictions later in the show. But in terms of Seattle, I think we've kind of focused on what they have to do to win the game, what some of the keys for them are. So I have an interesting question. You know, looking back on last game, up until the very end of the fourth quarter and overtime, Russell Wilson had his worst performance in his career, I'd say, and his worst performance since his days at North Carolina State, because even when he played at Wisconsin for that season, I didn't see him play that poorly. Ton of interceptions, a lot of incompletions, just was not consistent. So will he be able to bounce back this game?
Seattle does not even deserve to be here. I think the Packers should deserve to be here. The Seattle Seahawks.
They don't know.
No.
Brandon, that's ridiculous because you know what? The team that deserves to be here is the team that won the game, and Seattle won that game. So you cannot say that Green Bay deserves to be there.
Unfortunately, Green Bay played the better game. And if the NFL's overtime rules weren't as dumb as they are,
you're right.
They should have and would have gotten another shot into the end zone.
You're right about that. You're right about that. But
right?
You can't look at it that way
forget.
And say they're not a good team. Like, they're still a great football team.
I am so happy that the NFC is well represented again this year. And I am so happy because I am going to be the biggest Seattle Seahawks fan tonight. I cannot wait to see the Seattle Seahawks play. But I honestly think that the Green Bay Packers should have won that game and are much more deserving to go to the Super Bowl based on the way they played 2 weeks ago.
All right, well, listen, it doesn't matter who deserves it more. It matters who – I understand what you're saying, Brandon, but it matters who is in the game and not who you think maybe deserved it because they clearly didn't deserve it because look at the final score. Look who won. It was not Green Bay.
I'm just saying, obviously, the past is in the past, and Seattle won the game, and they're in the Super Bowl, and I'm very happy, and they're very happy to be there. So I'm not complaining, per se. This is more of a shot at the overtime rules of the National Football League than anything
okay.
else.
All right. Okay,
but
well.
Is it bad that I'm not even really – this game does not have as much hype as it did last year or in years past? Like, there isn't, like, a big enough storyline, or there isn't a big enough matchup to be watching, you know, that really compels a lot of viewers.
I don't think that can be further from the truth,
that
honestly.
Super Bowl has been very, this is very underrated.
I don't think that can be further from the truth, Brandon, because
Yeah,
talk about a storyline. Have we had a storyline quite like Deflategate? No. Talk about
a
matchup.
Have we had a matchup quite different.
Like Tom Brady versus Seattle secondary? No, we really haven't.
Peyton Manning
last year, but then again, Brady, I'd say that he's better, but that's a whole different discussion. But I think that there are plenty of storylines going into this game.
No, I know. I'm just saying that, like, this game doesn't feel as exciting as it has been in the past. Like, with the whole – with Super Bowl 47, for example, with, you know, John Harbaugh going up against Jim Harbaugh or Super Bowl 48, the game was played outside in cold weather. It was the best defense versus the best offense. And New England is nowhere near the best offense. And, you know, Super Bowl 46, it was the rematch of the game that happened in Super Bowl 42. Coincidence, it was also in Arizona. So I'm not really sure what the big storyline is here other than the New England Patriots cheating again, which really has nothing to do with the Super Bowl at all. Like, that's more of what I'm saying. I'm not saying that the playoffs haven't been exciting. It's just more of the fact that the Super Bowl itself doesn't have this big storyline leading up to the game itself, not that something happened in the past, not that they're being accused of cheaters or anything similar to that. If that makes any sense to you,
all right, well,
and the people listening.
Well, I honestly don't really think that the whole storyline thing is that big of a deal, because at the end of the day, it's a football game, and
that's right.
Like you said earlier, and I agree with you. I think it's going to be a close game. It's going to be exciting. So I'd much rather have a game that's a very close game that comes down to the end than a game with a lot of storylines going into it.
I think that the less storylines a game has in the end, depending on how the game goes, it could be better, because it throws away all of the media hype. It throws away all of the other nonsense that you would constantly hear from all the press, ESPN, NBC, whatever it is, and it's just more focused on the game. You know, forget about all those commercials. There isn't really a ton of controversial ones this year. You have Katy Perry performing halftime. Who cares? You know, it's a very bland slate outside of the football game, and I think that could potentially work out better depending on how good this football game really is.
Okay.
So,
all right,
we'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
We will.
All right. All right, Nick.
And,
Nick, I think it's – so
– yep.
So over the course of the past few weeks, if anybody follows Nick DeMartino's Twitter account, which, by the way, is one of the best things that's ever existed in life, you would know that Nick calls a lot of people bae. That's like his – I guess that's not his signature thing, because a lot of people do it.
Brendan,
but
just, can you just explain what that means? Can you explain what that means for our listeners that don't know what
really,
that means?
I can't really explain what it means. That's not me.
So the word bae, B-A-E, it's an abbreviation for before all else or something like that. And it's like a commonly
before
used term.
Anyone,
I don't know.
You know, whatever.
But
you get the picture.
Nick has adopted that as his kind of catchphrase over the past few weeks, and he will call people that. He'll call successful people that. So if somebody makes a big shot in the game, he'll say, "Oh, you know, they're bae, whatever." So we thought of a new. Well, Brandon thought of a segment, and Brandon, why don't you introduce the new segment?
All right. So basically, if in case anybody was watching last night, the NFL honors. And the NFL Honors is an award show that presents the yearly Associated Press Awards to the NFL players who won them. Instead of, you know, just saying, announcing through the papers or through NFL.com, you know, oh, you know, Rodgers won MVP or whatnot, to have an actual award show now. It's more in, you know, it's more in likeness to the Oscars or the Grammys or something like that. And the five major awards that were given out were MVP, Offensive Player and Defensive Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, and Offensive and Defensive Rookie of the Year. But we're combining the two today to just Rookie of the Year in general, because we all think we know who the Rookie of the Year is anyways. And basically what we're going to do is Nick is going to name his choice for the best players who fit those categories. And instead of calling them their respective names, they're just simply bae.
For example, if Aaron Rodgers won the MVP last night, Aaron Rodgers is Bay. It's that simple. So, Nick, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Who are the five Bays of the 2014 NFL season? And let's start with the rookie of the year.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Let's start with the first year Bay, Odell Beckham Jr.
Odell Beckham Jr. is Bay.
Odell Beckham Jr. is definitely Bay, Nick. I have to agree with you on that. I don't think there's any other contest as to who can challenge him for this Rookie of the Year award. No one even comes close. And forget about the catch against Dallas in the second quarter. Forget about that. This kid had like 1,300 receiving yards this year and only played after week five. He sat out the first 4 weeks. Just remember that. He had 12 touchdowns in 12
right.
games.
That's true.
That's unbelievable. Can you imagine if he played those first four? He could lead the league in receiving. He could have beat out
Antonio Brown,
who led the league in
receiving. I don't think he would have beaten out Antonio Brown, but he would have came close.
Well, we would never know.
I don't think
and
he would have done
a
that
chance.
Well. He would have come
but
close.
Anyway, all right, so obviously get the easy one out of the way. Odell Beckham Jr. is your rookie of the year. So, Nick, who's the coach of the year? Who is Bay?
Bruce Arians.
Okay. Another fairly simple one, although you could make the case for Pete Carroll,
Nobody
I guess.
Else. No, Bruce Arians. Look
Bruce Arians is merely the consensus coach of the year. I think he did a fantastic job in Arizona. He had to go through three quarterback changes, and he still went 11-5 or 12-4, whatever it was. And took his team to the playoffs. That's an unbelievable feat by Bruce Arians, and well done to the Cardinals this year. All right, here's another easy one: Defensive Bay of the Year. I wonder who this one is.
That's easy, J.J. Watt.
I mean, come on. I don't think I need to say anything else. The dude had 5 touchdowns, 3 of them on the offensive end. He had 20 sacks over the course of the past 2 seasons. And he is just an absolute beast. But if you just watch him play, like most teams are usually carried by an offense or a quarterback or someone like that. The Houston Texans were carried on J.J. Watt. He put the entire team on his left shoulder and the entire fan base on his right. And he carried the Houston Texans to an above 500 record. All
the Texans need is one other guy who can stop the run. Who can stop the run like J.J. Watt?
They have one. They have Jadeveon Clowney.
Right, but when did he play in the whole year? He played, what, 2 games?
He got hurt. But that's different. They have it.
Right. Well, for next year. But even another defensive end, and I can see them building that defense, like the Jets built their defense with, you know, strong stop the run, big defense, hard to run against, and all that. Get to the quarterback.
That's right. All right, Nick. So, who is your offensive Bay of the Year?
Offensive Bay of the Year.
Who is the offensive Bay of the Year?
I would have to say Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch?
Yes. No. Hold on. Marshawn Lynch. Because maybe one of yes, Marshawn Lynch deserves that award.
That's his choice.
Nick,
Brandon, let him make his choice. This is his segment.
He didn't watch the Dallas Cowboys. Nick has not seen the Dallas Cowboys play once.
I would take Marshawn Lynch over DeMarco Murray.
You're insane, Nick.
I'm not insane. Why? Because DeMarco Murray has more rushing yards than Slash Warrior. The Cowboys have one of the best run offensive lines in the league.
DeMarco Murray. What about Le'Veon Bell? What about Le'Veon Bell?
Le'Veon Bell is great, but I think Marshawn Lynch over Le'Veon Bell.
Oh, my God. Nick.
I have a pretty fair point. All right. It's my choice.
He certainly had a fantastic season, but there are better running backs. All right, Nick. Who's the most valuable Bay?
Aaron Rodgers.
Fair enough. I would have said J.J.
All right, now
I completely understand why they chose Rodgers.
Guys, we are currently actually running out of time. We only have 5 minutes left. So we have to get to the predictions part of the show. But thank you for that, Nick. Congratulations to all of those players who were named Bay of the Year. So it's now time for the Super Bowl 49 Sportsaholics 24/7.
Well, actually,
Super Bowl predictions besides Jordan, but Jordan's not here. But
Jordan, I think we all know who he's picking tonight.
Jordan is picking the Seahawks. He is a diehard Jets fan, therefore he hates the Patriots, so he wants the Seahawks to win. Before we start with our predictions, we'd like to hear your predictions. So if you'd like to call into the show, the number to call in, 347-884-8496. Brandon.
John, before we start with the calling, I just want to quickly just say something very briefly. This is our Season 2 finale of Sportsaholics 24/7. This is the last show of the season before we take a small break and we prepare for Season 3. Now, in Season 3, we're going to make some very drastic changes, and they're all for the better. The four of us will obviously be returning, along with some new features, some new identities. We're going to be introducing a new logo in the coming weeks. We're going to be introducing just a lot of cool, innovative things, and I think I speak for all of us that say we are very excited for the future of this show. We are very, very thankful to be in the position that we are in now, and we could not have done it without the people who are listening to the show currently. So thank you, and can't wait for Season 3.
All right, so let's get on. We're running out of time now. We got to get on to the picks. So,
Brandon, quickly, what's your pick? I'd like to hear yours first, Nick.
I'm gonna take Seattle in a close game. Seattle,
37-30. John?
I think this is gonna be a good game, much closer than last season's Super Bowl. In the end, I think that Seattle is going to pull it out. I think it's going to be 23-20. I can see Seattle kicking a game-winning field goal near the end. And I think Brady's going to have a good game. Marshawn Lynch is going to have a good game. But in the end, it's going to be Seattle.
Well, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. That's it.
So for that means you're picking Seattle.
I'm thankful.
So from what I understand, but what you're saying, you're trying to be like Marshawn Lynch right now. So I imagine that you're picking Seattle.
I'm thankful.
All right. Well, he's thankful. You're welcome. You're welcome, Brandon.
I'm thankful.
All right. We have about a minute left in the show. Nick, did you have something to say?
I do have a little something to say. It's about LeGarrette Blount. And all I can say is that I'm saddened that he is playing in the Super Bowl because he was kicked off the Steelers for being a horrible team player. He left the game and went to the Bucs. Before the game even ended, he was kicked off the team for that. And what happens? He goes to the Patriots and plays in the Super Bowl. And that just upsets me because there's so many players in the NFL who are team players, who do everything right, and who don't go to a Super Bowl. And LeGarrette Blount goes to the Super Bowl basically because he was being a jerk and was not being a good team player. And that bothers me.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. He is definitely not Bay. LeGarrette Blount, you are
LeGarrette
not on Nick's
Blount,
Bay list.
LeGarrette
You're on another
Blount
list of his, but we're not going to talk about this. Yeah.
If you want to learn what LeGarrette Blount really is, you have to follow Nick DiMartino on Twitter.
Nick DiMartino on Twitter. Nick, what's your Twitter handle?
Nick DiMar. At Nick DiMart.
Give him a follow. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Thank you all for listening. Season 2 is coming to an end. Season 3 will be here before you know it. I hope that you all stay updated on our stuff. We're going to be posting a lot on Facebook and Twitter about updates on our upcoming season, the changes we're going to be making. Hope you all enjoy the Super Bowl tonight. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.